Welcome back to Nondigital Talks. It's your host, Olavide Ayanda. Welcome to season 4. I'm so excited. It's crazy that we got here, you know, since 2018, I believe. And we're here. And I'm excited for this season. Of course, we have a juicy topic to talk about. And I have two returning cast members. You probably know their voice by now. I'm going to let them introduce themselves to you guys.
I'm back. We're back and better. We're back and popping. I'm excited for this episode, excited for this season. Y'all, you're in for a treat. That's all I'm going to say. Okay. All right.
Okay. Intro. Oh, wow. Okay. I'm just going to say, hey, y'all, it's Deb. How y'all doing? Debbie Zebu, mother of hope, cutest like flash little girl in the land, all that good stuff. Yeah. Happy to be here. Season 4. Really excited to be back. And really excited to see what our podcast is going to be about and then the rest of the season. So super excited to be here.
If you're a frequent listener, you will know these two people and you'll know they're my close friends. Mm-hmm. So before we dig into the topic, we always do something called The Talk, where we share what we're talking about with our girlfriend in our group chat, what we're gisting about. So what are you guys talking about?
Juicy, 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 juicy. Hey, no, Deb, you go first.
Girl, the coast, that's it. What are we talking about in our group chats? We're talking about getting tickets to go see the Eternals. Like, that's what we're talking about. We're also talking about, you know, all these TikTok phenomenons, all these little red flags stuff, you know, just all the things that are happening right now. And then also inflation, because these gas prices from, I assume,
hello.
Listen, Kingsway increased their price of, I assume, from $8 to $10, and I'm still upset about it.
Jeez.
So inflation, ghetto, it's just a lot. And so, like, things need to be shut down again because the pockets cannot take it. But, you know, we try to enjoy life.
I was even considering running for Trump again because wait, I need Trump.
You know,
I need
Trump administration prices. Hear that. You know what? You didn't hear that. That was not Olamide speaking. That was
because Biden needs to change something.
Whoever is editing this podcast, please edit that out.
Podcast topic, because you actually know what you're saying. If Trump was still in office,
I know.
Biden at least got us out of this thing, kind of ish. If Trump was still here, we don't know how deep it would be. So please, you don't know. The grass is always green on the other side, right?
He's God's candidate, side note.
Wait. Okay, so Nicole, what are you guys talking about in your group chat?
Talk about your group chat.
So I honestly believe there's been various amount of topics going on or whatever. Okay, to be real. I think more recently, I've just been thinking about the idea of Black women just being loved. Mm-hmm. And I think like Olamide sent me the video of, is it Megan Thee Stallion and her boy?
That's right.
Party, that video that they made, the 1 year anniversary. And honestly, just seeing that, I was like, wow. Honestly, wow. I don't really know the details of the relationship. I hope it's healthy, even outside of social media. But seeing it from that video, I was like, dang, bro. Like, seeing a man affirm a mm-hmm. Black woman, bro, that's so comforting. And I also feel like culture today and how Black women have been projected from, like, history. From back in the day, I already remember that one slave picture of the Black woman that's really curvy. Do you guys remember that picture?
Yes.
All the way down to maybe like the 2000s, when you think about the music videos, all you see Black women shaking their butts or whatever the case might be. So I feel like that quote where it says Black women are the most disrespected individuals on earth, in America, I actually agree with it, because Black women have never really been appreciated for who we are. It's always about like our bodies or what we can do for a man or whatever. Yeah. So just like seeing the fact that a woman is able to get into a relationship and to be celebrated in a healthy way, like, that's something I desire. Even seeing Deb, her own marriage, like with Gabe, the way Gabe loves Deb, and just like seeing other couples around me, and also what I see like via social media, I just love the fact that Black women are being loved in their relationships and they're being celebrated. So yeah, that's something that I've been talking about with my group chat.
That's good.
Yes, girl.
Oh, okay. I love it. That makes me happy. Well, that's a good transition to our actual topic.
But I didn't even get to talk, and you're not even the host.
No, you know what? You don't need to talk anymore. The fact that you mentioned Trump should be president, you do not need to say a word.
Sarcasm? Like, I didn't even get to talk,
Land. We love you, Land.
He's taking over.
Your airlines. Anyway, thank you for saying that, Nicole, because I really actually need to hear that. I was talking to like an older person, like a grandma, and she was basically saying like, if your man's cheating on you, you should stay. It's, what's your business be cheating on you? And I'm looking at her like in disbelief, and I was shook it. I was like, if your man's cheating on you, you need to leave.
Yeah.
And everybody that he's cheating on you, you need to leave, sis. Oh no, what's your business be cheating? Mm-hmm. I'm like, so why'd you marry him?
Beverly something, I don't know, Beverly, whoever's the girl who's making them hilarious TikToks, she should do another.
Adeze?
Needs to do a TikTok on that because her Jones been hit.
But I've been talking about lately, the past 2 days, is just, if you don't know by now, our sound engineer, our executive producer, Maiwa, proposed to his girlfriend,
Harriet,
my fiance on Sunday, our first lady, second lady, because Deb is the first lady. And they're getting engaged. And I was just talking to him yesterday about how coming to his engagement was triggering for me. And it wasn't the fact that he's 23 and he's engaged. Like, that's not something I want for my life, you know? Mm. But kudos to him. But just certain things in the room were triggering to me. And I felt like, dang, I'm so behind. Mm. And he was just like, Loms, I can't even say anything because how you feel is very valid. How you feel is very, I can't even like tell you to shake it off or no. How you feel is very valid, but just know that everything you're experiencing, everything you're going through, God has you there for a reason, and you don't know what he's shielding and protecting you from. And it's like, you know, you could have been married at 26 but to a guy that's immature, emotionally unavailable.
Yeah.
And you got married, but the guy isn't. You have to endure this character as he grows. You know, God has something for you that you don't know what's protecting you from. So it was very comforting. And, you know, just coming back from the proposal, I made a TikTok. My cousin got married, and I made a TikTok about all my cousins at the wedding, our problems. And it just brought me peace doing that. Because it's like, honestly, God has me, you know, just finding humor in your situation. But that's what I've been talking about for the past couple of days.
Hey, love and relationships, and okay, this is exciting. Okay, all right now. But the comfort,
I know, right?
The comfort, and
I know. I'm happy you're able to switch that and see the positive and cope with that in a healthy way. That's amazing.
Yeah. So we're going to get into the topic, and maybe Deb can actually introduce us as my co-host.
Praise God, co-host. Okay, y'all. So today, we are talking about womanhood. We know that this topic is something that I'm really doing co-host things. It's okay. Womanhood is like, it's a topic that you always need to return to because there's always something going on with it. And I think the way that culture evolves and us as women evolve, like it's always something that we need to come back to and discuss and think about, like, what are we thinking about now versus like how we were thinking 2 years ago? What has changed? What perspectives are healthy and unhealthy? All that type of stuff. So really excited to talk about it today. And then, you know, we all have different perspectives because we're all in different seasons of our life. So I think it's going to be a really good topic to kind of really dive into and see like what does womanhood look like now in 2022? When I would say post-pandemic, but we're still in the pandemic. So, you know, just all the things that are related to being a woman.
Because you were talking, I remembered becoming her.
Hear it.
It's Deb's blog, you know, her ministry. And I was like, you were talking, I'm like, dang, this is such a becoming her type of, you know, vibe going on.
It is, you know, praise the Lord. People will be asking me, like, oh, Deb, oh, please, when it's coming back? Everything's for a season. The season may come back, the season may not come back, but I did it. I did it. So, yes, the becoming her blog is still up, though, if y'all want, you know, read some. All that stuff, but yes, becoming her. Let's get into it.
Okay, so question number one of this juicy topic is, how would you define womanhood?
I'm gonna let Nicole go. I've been talking too much, so
I mean, no, girl, talk first. I wouldn't even know what exactly. Oh, Jesus, that's a,
not right.
That it sounds like a simple question, but at the same time,
it's not.
Like, how can you actually word what that means to you? So I'm gonna let Deb go first.
This girl did all that to say, I'm not talking. Okay. No, so I think So I thought about it because I was like, I feel like womanhood is very subjective. Like, it's really hard to define what it is. So I think Nicole's right. One thing I know is true, and you know, this, what I am about to say is like a topic for a totally different day when it comes to like who is a woman or what is a woman, because I think that has been defined or has been progressively been defined by how culture defines what a woman is. And that's like a little more of like a controversial topic that we're not getting into today. But I think like when we're talking about womanhood, I think it's extremely subjective to like each person or each woman rather, because I think we all have such different, we all have different experiences. So, you know, I could say womanhood is like the process of me becoming, you know, or fulfilling my purpose, or, you know, someone say like womanhood to me is like me being comfortable in my own skin. Someone else could say womanhood is, you know, accomplishing all my goals. Like, there's all these different ways that people define it. So I don't think there's one way to define it. I think it's just like the process of you like becoming who the Lord has called you to be, and who you feel like, you know, he said you are. So I think, and that is different because each woman is different, right? And so even though we go through similar experiences, it's also in different ways. So I think there's not really a way to like put something on it, but I think it's just like the process of affirming and confirming and redefining who you are and like how out over time.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I feel like womanhood is not monolithic, and it can vary from person to person based off of experience, culture, age, demographic, socioeconomic class. Like, different things can really affect your womanhood. But that's the beauty of it, because it doesn't look the same with each person, you know? Mm-hmm. You might experience the same thing, but go about it different ways.
Yeah.
So the next question will be like,
wait, I didn't even answer. Oh, embarrassing.
You literally told
me.
I'm not tripping.
Anyway, so for those who are actually wanting to hear what I have to say about what a woman is or womanhood, I'm going to talk. So I just Googled it, and it says,
"No, have mercy."
State or condition of being a woman. And honestly, what Deb said versus what Olamide said, I feel like they all said the same thing. Honestly, it's really the state and condition of you being you.
Mm.
And if we try to give like our own like specific definitions, I feel like it's going to start to project who that woman is supposed to be. But at the end of the day, it's really just you as a woman being you, like who God calls you to be. So. That's what I think.
And I like that you said that, because I think we're going to get into it, but it's also like doing that in spite of what like people project onto you. Like, I am who I am, whether or not I have this, that, like listed out or whatever. And I think culture often wants to define us based on what we have, what we have, all that type of stuff. It's like, no, I'm a woman just because I am, not because I have certain things or certain accolades or whatever, or certain like character traits and all that type of stuff. So it is, it's an interesting question, because I think not a lot of us think about it. We just kind of go through life, which like, I'm going to do what I feel like I'm supposed to be doing. But yeah, I definitely think that in the midst of it, culture really tries to project a lot. And unfortunately a lot of that sticks. But I think it's like us kind of like taking ownership of our own like process and living that out, whether or not people in society like accept it.
Mm-hmm.
A nice segue to the next question is like, do you feel like you're a woman based off of your definition or perception of what womanhood is?
We're doing the
people. I can go. I feel like I am. Even though sometimes I do see, I think my vision or definition of womanhood changes. And even though by standard definition, I am, I feel like, you know how that Britney Spears song go, like, I'm not a girl, not yet a woman. It's like, sometimes I feel like I'm caught in between that. Like, I'm not a child, but then I'm not like a grown woman, like I want to be type of thing, or what I think I am. But in reality, I am. I am a woman.
And like the standard that you have in your mind, and like, if I met the standard, then that means I'm a woman. Is that kind of how you're seeing it?
Maybe, but I feel like more like, you know how we're the adults to little kids that are growing up now,
Yeah.
But then when our parents are around, we're like, nah, they're the adults. Like, right. That's how I feel like, yeah, somebody in college, I'm like, oh, you're grown. But I'm like, nah, I'm still somebody that's 35. Oh, she grown. She's
right.
That's the grown person. Cause it's like, you never really master adulting, you know?
I feel like it's just, when I think of like being a woman, I think of like being like adulting. And I'm like, yeah. This is ghetto. I'm like, what is next? So I'm like, even though I'm literally taking care of a whole human, yeah. I'm like, it's my responsibility. Yeah. Me, even when I used to teach, I'm like, I'm the adult, like I have the authority and the power in the room to like control the situation. Who gave me this power? I said, I think about it in terms of like more of like an adulting, and I don't think, yeah. I mean, that process or that like time period is so long, yeah. that it's very much so like a day to day. Some days it's giving teenager, I'm calling in bed and watching Netflix all day because like life is ghetto, right? Like, yeah. Or the other time, like, I'm killing it. Like, yeah, you know, that type of thing. But I don't even know. I guess, to be honest, I don't think about it often. I'm just like, please let me just handle my kidney for the day and then we'll figure it out tomorrow. So I don't know. It's an interesting question.
You know, yeah. What came to my head when you're talking? B, you doing a good job. Because sometimes like, when I'm with like my older sisters, I'd be like the little kid. But then when I'm with the college kids, I'd be the big person. It's just like, mm-hmm. I feel like the middle child sometimes. Like, I'm just caught in between. So I am a woman, but then sometimes I'm just like, I need to grow up a little bit. I'm like, oh, I'm mature. It's just, it varies, you know?
I want to actually approach this question from a different perspective. So the second part of the question was, when did you realize you're a woman? So I was honestly thinking about this like over the past few days. So I'm 28. So my recent years, I've realized that I am a woman, mm-hmm. when men make me realize I'm a woman.
Mm.
And when I say that, like, yes. in the context of obviously like in maybe like relationships, and also in the context of like just your profession.
Mm.
Like, I recently got a new job, and then with my new job, I realize how many men are in the legal field. Mm. So when I'm in the courtroom, I'm surrounded by so many men, either yeah. the other attorneys or the bailiffs, sometimes the judges, they're men. Police officers, majority of them are men.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel as though they try to intimidate me because they are a man.
Yeah.
I realize like I'm actually like my body, what's it called?
Language.
No, not my language. I forgot the word, but anyways, I just realized like I'm smaller than them. Mm. Like, I don't know where I'm looking.
Stature?
Yeah, stature. Thank you.
Yeah.
My stature is smaller than them. My voice is softer than them. I have to project my voice louder than them so they can know you're not about to play with me because you're
that's right.
So I started to realize like, dang, I am a woman in here. You mm-hmm. all are men, but because yeah. I am a woman, it does not mean I'm at a disadvantage.
That's
I'm
right.
Dumb because yeah. I am a woman. I am still smart and I am still qualified because I am a woman. Mm-hmm. So that's right. One thing that actually made me realize like, dang, I am a woman in this profession. And then another thing is men, they also remind you that you're a woman, especially like when you're walking around in the mall. Next thing you know, they're catcalling you or like, oh, can I get your number? Blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, yeah, of course.
Right.
Now I know I'm not a walking dog or whatever. But yeah, that's just something I wanted to share.
Even when you said in relationships, I thought she meant not a sexual way, mm-hmm. but in a sensual way.
Mm.
Like mm. when you're with a man and like he just makes you feel soft,
yeah,
you know, and protected. Mm. It's just like, oh wow, I can be soft. Yeah. I can be gentle. I can let my guard down, you know. I thought you meant like that.
No, but the, yeah, that's true too.
When they hug you, when they, you know, yeah, I don't know. I thought you meant like that, in that way.
I mean, I think the point though, because I think it's, I feel like I've said this before somewhere else, but I think it's not always bad, but I think like when we like think about who we are in relation to something else, it like brings out more of like, it makes us more aware, like Nicole said, of like who we are or like what people define us as, if that makes sense. Like men remind us, like in a relationship, right? Like you're the girlfriend or you're the wife or you're the whatever. Like, I mean, kids can remind you, like, based on who they go to for what. Like, Hope can really remind me. I'm clearly a mother because when Gabe is like, when she knows daddy's not playing work, and she'll come to me for comfort, like that type of thing. So I think it's interesting, like, or even, you know, as a sister or whatever. So I think when we are defined in relation to something else, it helps us like more clearly define who we are, if that makes sense. But I also really like to try to think about who I am outside of all those labels and idols and all that type of stuff, because it really reminds me of like, I am my own identity outside of these things, outside of people. While I love them and they're amazing, all that type of stuff, I'm also my own person, and my relation to them does not make me who I am fully. It just adds to really who I am. So yeah,
that's good.
I'm glad you said that, because the next question definitely talks on that. In what ways do you think womanhood has been misconstrued for Niger girls?
God.
And we can be here all night for real.
When will you marry? When will you marry? Will it be this year? Next year?
Will you be single forever?
It's us! Definitely marriage.
I went to go see my cousin's mom, we call her grandma, and she was just like, where's your husband? I'm like, he's coming. That's for everything. He's coming. When? Next year, he's coming. And then she's like, we want a marriage. We want a baby. I'm like, for what? Sacrifice? Because that's the only child. I don't know what. Like, you literally have how many grandkids? Do you need another one? What would another one do? Like, you literally have a whole tribe of grandkids.
Listen, it's like that. I don't know if it's TikTok or something like that, but it's like the TikTok of like, oh, okay, you graduated. When do you get it? Do you have a boyfriend? Okay, you have a boyfriend. When you guys get engaged? Oh, you're engaged. When are you getting married? Oh, you're married. When you have a kid. It's like, it's never ending. I don't know if it's like a casual, like, I don't know. Like, culture, I just use it as like a small talking point. Like, okay, I don't know this girl that much. Let me ask you about this. They use it as like, okay, this is like a point of conversation, but it's like, but it's not though. It's like very common to ask those questions. Like somebody asked me the other day, somebody asked me the other day, they said, oh, when is, you know, number two coming? And my mind said, is that your business to be monitoring? Like,
when you carry number two for me,
when you provide number two.
Like, I was like, literally, and my mind said, I just was like, it's the audacity. Like, people really, the thing that it's become so like normal in culture to ask those questions, people don't understand that, like, that's actually very rude and offensive to ask. Now,
sensitive.
I'm offended because it's because really, I'm like, I don't really know you like that. And you don't need to know like my life and family planning. But it's also just like, it's like people are just very comfortable. So if one stranger can now ask me that question, of course, grandma and auntie and uncle are all going to be in my, you know, like even more so in my room asking me what's next, what's going on, all that type of stuff. So I think there's so many aspects from like African culture to like even Christian culture. And I think there's like definitely a rebellion going on, which I love about like Christian women are like, no, teach your men. Don't teach them no more about being a wife, a mother, a this, a servant. The Bible can handle all that. Talk to your men. So I think like, I really love this like movement of like, no more women's conferences. Well, not that they're bad, some of them. Like, but for the most part, people are just like, please, y'all not gonna keep me in this box of like, a woman is, or a Christian woman is.
Yeah.
Like we said earlier, me being a woman is like my journey becoming who I desire to be, not based on the accolades or the things that I get. And I think people don't really understand that, but I really think like our generation of women are fed up. And I'm like, come on.
Because it seems like society is just talking only to the women and not really talking to the men.
Yeah.
Who sometimes are the root of the issue.
Sometimes, most times.
You know what I mean?
99.9% of the time, it's like they're talking to women to be the solution, but not really solving the root of some issues. So like, I mean, I know Nigerian culture, they consider you to be a woman for real when you're married and then you have kids. Think about women when they get married at 22, think about women get married at 30, but I don't have no, I'm not married, but I have kids, but I still consider myself a woman. But it's like, ah, your time is ticking. How about your eggs? Blah, blah, blah. You know, women, men. My dad was like, you know, men don't like marrying women after 30. And then I'm just like, worry about yourself. Like, why are you worrying about me? You know, but it's just like, that's I heard they tell you, that's what you believe, but that's not reality. You know what I mean? People get married at all ages. But you finding somebody to do life with does not define your significance or your worth. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Like,
yeah.
And like my identity should not be rooted in somebody saying, oh, I want to pursue her and I want to marry her and give her my last name. Like,
or reduce
the day I, you know, had my first breath should have been the day I became significant, you know? Yeah. So it's just like, wait, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. I think, what you said, because it's like for them, it's like a mark of like respect. And I think that's what it, like mostly everything boils down to in like Nigerian culture is about like respect and honor and like all that type of stuff. So it's like, oh, you have this thing. Okay, you're a big mommy now. You know, like they just, it's like those things of like, okay, you have this thing, like you're mature now, or like you're, I can respect you now, all that type of stuff. And I think because our culture is so rooted in those values, that is the only, like they define all of those things, or like all the things that you do based on, okay, if you reach this place, then you can get this thing. If you reach this place, you can get this thing. Or you can get this thing from us, right? Because even now, if I even think about, even me, like allow me to kind of what you said earlier about, you know, even when my mom or the adults are in the room, I feel like a child again, because it's like, if I can't say what I really want to say, or they'll say I'm disrespectful, and it reduces like I'm a child. I'm like, I'm a grown woman with an opinion, and that doesn't like make, so anyways, but it's disrespectful to them, right? So I think in terms of like being a Niger girl and like thinking about like how it really resonates with the culture, it's about like how do they know how to treat you differently? It's when you have these specific things. It's when you are married. Yeah. It's when you have a big job. It's when you have a new degree. It's when you have a child, when you have a house. Like they measure it by success. And I think it's a very like toxic environment and toxic culture, but I don't know. I don't see that changing anytime soon. Mm-hmm. But it is, that's really, and I think that's why a lot of Nigerian girls are uncomfortable. Like we're just rejecting it because like, it's too much. Like the pressure and all that type of stuff. It's like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I have two things to add. So, so the first one obviously is the topic of marriage, the Nigerian culture reducing our identity down to you're only a woman if you have a man, and that's absolute crap. And one thing else I would say is that they're so pressed, all these Nigerian aunties and uncles, some of our parents, to be honest, it's always mainly the aunties and uncles, but anyways, they're so pressed to reduce your identity to marriage. But when you eventually get married, they will not be there to help you cultivate the marriage. They're only
because how can they
the ring, not about yeah. how healthy your marriage is even gonna be. But even then, you have to look at their own marriage. How is your own marriage healthy? Ask me, what are you doing in your marriage that is healthy right now?
That's not like, math ain't mapping.
There's so many questions I need answers.
It's all about it's all about status. You know, like, you know, we're very prideful, we're very boisterous. I don't know what the word is.
Yeah.
But like everything about like, oh, what can you see that I've done? How can I brag on my da-da-da, all that type of stuff? And it's like, once again, it's just like, but and the things that like Alamide said earlier, a lot of our, you know, the generation before us, mm-hmm. they suffered before marriage, they suffer in marriage, mm-hmm. and they just they're just like, okay, but this is the thing that made me who I was. And I think the other thing is that like historical context as well, like even it's not just in Nigerian culture, like this was culture in general, right? Like a woman didn't have any status unless she was married to a man.
Married.
A woman didn't have anything unless she was married to a man. Mm-hmm. And if she was divorced from a man or she was widowed from a man, her status in society became less. And so I think it's not just about like Nigerian culture, but it's just like about how the world interprets men in our value and our stance in society. And I think once again, we are pushing back on that. Like shout out to all the movements, even though some was excluded people, like people who look like us, like Black women, Nigerian women, all that type of stuff. But I think it's really like, it's just like, it's a historical phenomenon that has happened, that is like kind of continuing. But once again, I think that our generation is just like, And Gen Z, those people, Gen Z is different. I don't know about, I'm not with everything that they do, but some of the movements I appreciate. So I think with some of the stuff, they're just like, yeah, we're not doing this anymore. So I think it is definitely changing, but yeah, I think our generation is definitely enduring. Yeah. Listen, we're the ones who have to break the generational curses, right? So it's like, that's, it's like on our shoulders. So yeah.
After saying all that and how like Nigerian culture has really influenced what womanhood is and how we're redefining it for ourselves based off of not letting marriage or having kids or even the career and all these accolades define our womanhood, how do you feel your womanhood is impacted with how others perceive you?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think I'm in a different place than I used to be, but I think, and I said it a little bit earlier, I think I used to feel a lot of pressure, like pressure to perform, pressure to show up, pressure to like, kind of just like be everything everyone wanted me to be in order to to feel valued, to feel affirmed, to feel like, you know, the person who I was becoming or the person who I was like the woman that I was like kind of turning into was like valuable to people. So I think that was like, of course, like it's really dangerous because at the end of the day, like I'm trying to be like pieces of myself to other people, like to different people, all that type of stuff. And at the end of the day, it's like, you did all that performative, you're performing for this person, you're acting like you were telling jokes for this person, you act like you're serious for this person, you're just doing all these things for everyone else. And at the end of the day, it's like, you have nothing left for yourself. And so I've gotten to a place where I'm like a lot more comfortable. I'm like, this is who I am. Like, y'all gonna get what y'all get. And if you don't, then, you know, it's okay. Like, it's not every time friendship, like sometimes it's like, we're cordial. So, or just even like, just knowing that like, you may not necessarily like, not vibe with me, but like, you can respect who I am because I'm consistent in who I am. But that doesn't mean that we might have a relationship or that like what you might want to influence over me, like doesn't really matter. If that makes sense.
That's good. All right. To answer the question, do you feel like your womanhood is impacted by how others perceive you? When I think about it, honestly, especially within the Nigerian culture, I do feel as though Nigerian people, they kind of, well, from my experience personally, being on the, I guess, the plus size spectrum of being a woman, I feel like Nigerian, they've made it seem like if you're not the perfect size, honestly, at this point, 2021, I still don't even know what that perfect size is.
There is not.
You could be skinny, you could be bigger, and then they will still say something. But either way, the Nigerian culture, they kind of make it seem like if you're not the perfect size to them, then you're not the woman that you're supposed to be. If that makes sense. Like, there's something wrong with you as a woman if your body, if your stomach is not sucked in, or if your face is too round, or if you're arms are too big, like there's something wrong with you as a woman and it needs to be corrected. And it's like, according to who? You and your insecurities? Please get out of my way. Like, don't be projecting that insecurity on me, bro. Like, I'm a woman, no matter what my body shape is, whether I'm like Bashandi or whether I'm big to you, like I'm a woman, period. And it has nothing to do with flesh on my skin. Like, it has absolutely nothing to do with that. And I also feel like it affect, like, honestly, being truthful, like, throwback to the first episode of Niger Girl Talks. Like, it has affected my womanhood for a very long time, because I feel like ever since maybe the age of maybe like 8, 9-ish, I was starting to be defined by my weight. I was starting to be defined by my weight, like, oh, you're a girl, you shouldn't be doing that. And then I remember, oh my gosh, just had this thought. This was like back in 2015-ish. I remember she had a party at her house and my uncle came and he made this rude comment. He was like, you need to lose weight. What man is going to marry you?
Uncle, you want to have sex with me, just let me know. Call you out.
I'm going to speak on that because there's something
wrong. If you want to have sex with me, uncle, just let me know, because it's not going to happen. Don't project your sexual desires onto me.
Period. Like, why are you looking at me in that manner? Why? But yeah, at the end of the day, it's honestly something that I'm better than how I was before, because now I actually feel like I've come to the place where I'm actually taking my health more seriously. And I actually feel like it's not even because of people anymore. Now I see it from like my perspective, God's perspective, and like me wanting to just treat my body better than how I used to treat it before. But I know like that's something that has always played a part in my insecurities in life, because of how the Nigerian culture has made me feel like you're not woman enough because your body doesn't look like what I want it to look like.
Yeah.
It's crap. Mm. Absolute crap.
And in terms for me, oh, want to say something, Deb?
Mm-mm.
Oh, for me, yeah, I know, like, I'm 5'2.5", I'm 5'3", and I'm like petite and tiny, but I'm not a gentle person. And I think one time I was on a call with my friend and her mom is very gentle and like very soft and slow cadence. And my friend isn't. She's like her dad, who's like very robust and talk with all their emotion. And I guess we were talking about something like biblical gentleness, like women being gentle. And I think my friend like was imitating how her mom moved and talked. And I was insecure.
That's not me.
You know how Timothy talks about women should be gentle and me like that. And I'm just like, that's not me. I'm very rah, rah, rah. Right. I'm a Yoruba woman. Like, hear me roar. And I think I'm becoming insecure because it's like, I'm really not gentle. I mean, I'm not gentle unless I'm dealing with children. Like, I use my whole being, everything that I do. Like, being gentle, I'm a very strong person. Like, I can lift you up type of person. So I was like, dad, God, I'm so rah, rah, rah. And then Holy Spirit was just like, gentle, just because you're not gentle does not mean that you're not moving with authority as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So people, I know a lot of Yoruba culture, or Nigerian culture, aka pick me culture, is like a woman should be gentle with the man and use wisdom to have her way and to make him think that he's leading, but she's really leading and she's pulling the strings. I don't do manipulation. I keep it 100 with you. What you hear, what you see, what you get. I'm not doing any type of formula to, hi, honey. No, like, we gonna keep it a buck.
I'm not like that.
I was just like, if you move like that, then you move like that. It doesn't mean you're a rah-rah, a Jezebel spirit, hear me roar, I'm trying to lead. No, that's how you move in everything you do. If you move with so much power and force, that's how I made you.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you any less graceful or any more, it isn't making you manly or any more feminine. Like, so I was just like, yeah, like all that. I'm not a gentle person, like, hi, if you ever hear me talk that light, I'm loud, like soft, it means I'm not really comfortable with you and I just met you. But if I'm comfortable with you, my voice is deeper. You know, so it's just like, hi, I'm alive today. I don't know you, I'll put on a show for you. But if I know you, boom, 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 boom. So I was like, I'm not gentle. And then sometimes I'm just like, but it's like, maybe because I had three brothers. I was the only girl for a long time. And I had three brothers. So it's like, it's like I grew up with men. I had guy friends growing up. It was like, it was because of that. Also, it was like, no, like, that's how the women in your family are. You have those very strong personalities. Like,
Olamide, I also want to, I want to add something to what you said. I also wanted to affirm you as a person. I feel like people kind of box gentleness into just being like soft-spoken or whatever, but that's not only what gentleness can be. Like, what you do for people could be a form of gentleness. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like, you having a strong personality, it's not killing anybody.
Right.
It's literally not killing anybody. Like, it makes you, like you said, it makes you no less of a woman. But I just wanted to add, like, gentleness shouldn't just be boxed into the flow of your voice or how you respond to a man that's not taking out the trash. Bro, if you want to be aggressive, take out the trash, man. It's way much more than that. And then I also wanted to add that whoever is for you is going to love you for you, period.
Right.
Flaws and all. I know Deb can testify. She ain't perfect, but she married, gave us her.
Praise the Lord. No, and I like what you said, because I think it is important. It's like, but it's not authentic to who you are, right? Like, once again, it's like, am I going to conform to this like idea of like what Nigerian standards are, or like what culture standards are, so I can achieve this thing? And then at the end of the day, I've like moved through life performing in every area of my life, and I never actually get to the authentic part of person. And I think that's a really important part. And I like what you said, Nicole, because like, yeah, like gentleness is like, if I'm born with a raspy voice, I cannot for every time I talk. Like, it's just like, that's just not how
you my hear life. Her actually.
That's I'm like, everything really is so surface level, and that's the actual issue. Like, we're not going deep enough. What are we talking about when we're talking about character? We're talking about someone's integrity. We're talking about like this person consistent in who they are. Like, those things actually determine who we are as a woman, all that type of stuff, versus like, how gentle am I doing? Am I, you know, am I bowing every time I see you? Like, am I offering you food? Like, it's just like,
come on, man. You know,
it's very much so like, yeah, it's just very surface level. And I think that's the problem. That's the problem.
Even, Nicole's mom's birthday party, I was sitting next to Tina, and she was like, "Moms, I got new sneakers, and I'm looking at your page for inspiration." And I was just like, "Oh, thank you. You know, I'm trying to become more feminine with my dressing." And she said, "Huh?" I said, "You know, I'm trying to get more femme, like how with my dressing." She was like, "No, like you're the kind of person that can do sneakers one day, and then bye bye boom the next day, like you know how to switch it up, like you are doing a good job." I was like, "Really? I feel like sometimes I dress manly." And she was like, "No, like when you wear sneakers, you make it seem feminine, but streetwear, like I'd be going to your page for inspo." And I was like, "Thank you for telling me that, because I really think I'd be looking manly sometimes with my sweatpants on or my essentials on, like, oh dang, I look like one high schooler that's waiting to hit puberty." But she's like, "No, like you since college, you have always known how to switch it up on people." And I was like, "Oh, thank you."
And I think, I think that's another thing that kind of talk about, but not often, is like the, I don't know if it's like masculinity, feminine. I guess it is like what culture, once again, I'll go back to what culture defines something as, but like that whole line between like masculine and feminine, and like if I look like people, once again, like will put a label on you if you like dress more quote unquote masculine, but then they like everything is like, you know, it's a tribute, like, oh, if you do something masculine, like then that means that you are a man, and if you do feminine things, like you're a woman. But it's like there is, I think that there's fluidity within that, but once again, combination of doing, because culture is doing dance, tiptoe, tra la la on the line, it's different like than like actual like someone's gender. But I do think like when I was in college, I used to go to the thrift store all the time. Like I used to wear like, you know, I mean, now it's like a little more chill, but like wearing Doc Martens or wearing like sweat. I don't know. I used to wear things that were like not really like feminine. And I also had a shortcut like bald, like baby girl hand.
And it fits you.
People are probably very confused about me right now. But I was like, please don't, like that doesn't change like who I am as a woman and like my desire. But it's like, once again, that's like the outward expression of who I am, and that involves like my personality and what I like and all that type of stuff, but that all makes up like who we are as women.
It's funny you said that.
And okay. I guess my question to us, and I'll like pose this to the group, is like, what have you been learning about yourself in terms of like who you are as a woman, like what you, I guess, like in the process of like you becoming like who you are today and all that type of stuff, like how confident or how solidified do you feel as a woman, like who you are right now, I guess, like even with like everything going on in culture and all that type of stuff?
I will say recently something that I feel like I'm almost on the verge of like overcoming is wanting people to be pleased with me. I know it's something that's been really like heavy in my life, but I feel like I'm finally overcoming it. And I think it's now my new job that's giving me that God is using it to give me the grace to overcome. Like, because there are times where I go to court and then I go before judges. Some judges are nice. Some judges make you feel like you're nothing. And like, I remember there was this one time I went to court, this judge, she was just yelling at me. And honestly, that was one of my worst days ever so far. And I was just crying. I think I cried like 3 days that day, but I felt like God was teaching me something about him favoring me doesn't mean that people are going to always be pleased with me. Because someone is pleased with me doesn't mean that's God's favor. Like, sometimes God's favor could be found in that person actually not liking you and you becoming better and looking more like Jesus in spite of that. And honestly, I thought about, so I'm talking about this in relation to the topic because I was in court yesterday and then one of the bailiffs, she's a lady, she's a woman, talking way too much, but she made a comment. Well, actually I made a comment about how some judges, they have like pet peeves about some things that the attorneys wear. And then the bailiff was looking at me and she was talking about, yeah, I was looking at the length of your skirt too. And I was also looking at the fact that you kept on flicking your hair. And then in my mind, I was like, wow. And in my head, I came out this house loving my outfit. So now because you're telling me because my skirt probably wasn't your length or I was flicking my hair, it was possibly annoying. You know what? I actually do not get, I don't care.
I rebuke you.
I rebuke you in Jesus' name because I am actually very satisfied with everything that I've put on today. And if I'm flicking my hair, it's because I don't want it in my eye. And I actually don't really, I sincerely don't care. Like, I don't care. Like, I can't please you, actually. I can't. At the end of the day, you really can't please everybody. And me being me as a woman who God has created me to be is more than enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Period.
What about you, Lambs?
And so solidified in my identity, I feel like it's jello. It's solid, but it be jiggling. You know what I mean? Like, it's solid, but it be wobbling a little bit.
I feel like allergy is good. It's a good one. It's a good one.
I feel like I don't extend grace to myself because it's like, I feel like I have to have it all figured out now, but it's literally a journey. It's a process. It's trying things and seeing what works for you in this season. You know, before COVID, you probably would never catch me in sweatpants like that. But now that COVID has happened, you won't catch me in a bra.
Your
what? You will not catch me in a bra.
Okay, huh? So side note, y'all, I found this very bomb page that has like boob tape. Oh, and I said, this joint is going to change the game for so many people.
Share it.
Because bras are not of God. That's what
girl, I'm saying. Hate it so much.
They're not of God. Yeah. And they're expensive. Yeah. It's too much. I don't like it. It's too much. Let me let you land.
But it's like, me wearing sweatpants and all this stuff, it's like, I'm still a woman. Like, I still can't have these hips. Like, nah. But, so it's just like, it's an grace to myself. Like, at my wife's engagement, this one girl was asking me earlier, like, what is my size on Boohoo? Because she said, you know, she thought we're the same size. I was like, I wear size 8. And she was like, no, I need a 4. I was like, honestly, we're not the same size. So when I saw her at the engagement, we had the same dress on. And I said, girl, this is an 8. She said, this is a 4. I'm like, yeah, I gained weight during COVID. And she said, oh, I want to gain weight too. I said, don't worry, girl. Second puberty is coming. The hips, the breasts are going to come in, girl. I got my breasts during COVID. Like, it's going to come. And she got excited. I was like, yeah, girl. When you get older, your body's like, poop, 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 poop. So it's just like, it's like a journey. Like, and it's like every season changed. Like, when I was her age, I wanted a body. Now I'm over here at the gym trying to, like, get rid of my back pain and, you know, my cellulite on my stomach. But it's like, it's a never-ending journey. So it's like, embrace where you are now, because in 5 years, you have to redefine your womanhood again. When I'm 35, I'm going to be like, oh my gosh, I'm in a different stage, you know, than I was at 30. So it's just like me, like, really embracing the womanhood, like the womanhood journey. And not letting people define it, because when people define it for you, it steals your joy and your experience of it, you know, like,
yeah,
it just steals it. Like, for example, like, we went to Del Frisco 2 weeks ago just to go.
Period.
And I was and I actually made plans to go to Del Frisco the week before for somebody else's birthday, but it didn't work out. So when we went, we got dressed up, put the wig on, put the makeup on, put our purse.
Yes.
What's the occasion? Nothing. I said, Monique, say it's your birthday. Say it's your birthday. Here's some good dessert. But it's just like, nah, like, this is what you're doing, like, going out, cheating ourselves. What about I'm not traveling next year with some girlfriends. Just travel, like, experience life, because if you wait for what womanhood, what people say womanhood should be about, you'll regret it when you get there. When the husband comes, when the kids come, when the picket fence and that big house comes, it's like, I waited for this. They ain't giving what I said it should be given. Not, you know, it's just like, it's like really enjoying the scene. So like for me, it's like I'm solidified. But there are moments when the devil tried to check me up, like, oh, you 30, but your friends are pregnant with their second child. They're like, you know, but it's like, that's okay. Because right now, I don't feel like changing diapers right now. Or someone sucking on my breast. I don't.
Interesting, because I think, you know, being on the side of like, you know, being married, having a child and all that type of stuff, I think like people just, it's not like people leave you alone, but people think like, okay, she's done. Like that's all kind of thing. And I'm like, my life, and I think we talk about this often. I'm like, me, like people just ever see everything as like a checkpoint. It's like, okay, like let's leave her alone. Let's go out to, let's bother the next person to see when it's like, no, my life is still continuing. Actually, like there's more on this other side of life. And I think for me, my like, I guess like where I am now is like my, like what I do, like in my job and like my purpose is like really extremely important to me. Like these jobs, we trying to suck your soul. Okay. Shout out to these 9 to 5.
Agreed.
So I'm like, whatever I do in my life, it has to bring me joy. And if it, like, some people are just like very, some people can be like very like, okay, I have a 9 to 5, like I do things on the side. I'm like, no, the thing that I like occupies the most of my time that brings me income needs like to bring me the utmost joy and needs to like, I want to outlive my passions very well. Mm-hmm. And so I think for me, like, you know, super excited about like my husband and super excited about like Hope and seeing her milestones and all that type of stuff. But like, that doesn't mean that like, I'm like, okay, like all the things are done and like I'm just gonna like coast until like I die. I'm like, no, I wanna things, I wanna enjoy my life, I wanna achieve things. I think for me personally, that like that looks like me living out like what my job or my purpose is. And so I think like it's like not, I guess like not settling for, I guess if that makes sense. Like I'm thinking about like, ooh, do I wanna do law school or do I wanna do PhD? Do I wanna like start, I don't want to start a business, but like start a podcast, do I wanna like travel, like there's all these different things, like travel in terms of like going to school like out of state, like there's all these things that I feel like people think like you're settled now, you can't do anything, your life cannot be exciting anymore, and all that type of stuff. But like, right, it's like there, I am changing diapers, someone does rely on me, so there's responsibilities that I have, but that doesn't mean that like my life is done and it's only for when it's in relation to what I'm doing as a wife and what I'm supposed to be doing as, like I am still who I am and I still have desires and wants and needs and all that type of stuff. And I want that to be fulfilled. And granted, I can't have it all at in one season. So there's seasons where like I might have one thing versus like another, but I just don't want it to become, for me personally, like where I'm like, okay, that's enough. Like I can just sit here and all that type of stuff. Like I wanna continue like be growing and evolving and who I am as a woman, like the things that I'm doing. So I think for me, it's like not settling, I guess. Mm. Although I am confident, I don't want to settle with like where I am, because society once again defines when you have succeeded, if that makes sense. So yeah,
it's good.
So now that we've spoken about things, how we feel about our womanhood and things that do not define our womanhood and how we are, you know, being firm and steadfast, haha. I will be firm and rooted in our identity and our womanhood. What are some things that you do that make you feel womanly or that affirm your womanhood?
Dress up.
Girl, yes.
Yeah, I was dressing,
honey. Like, you be dressing up.
Like, to the nines.
I'm like, where is Nicole getting this dress? I'd be like, me and my dress. There's no comparison. I'm like, what's
funny. No, but seriously, I do it because honestly, like, this is the body that God gave me. Like, this is the person that God made me. And it's literally like my duty to steward it well. Like, bro, literally, you don't have any other body. Like, you better just dress the thing up as best as you can. Pop out. Like, that's how I be feeling. Like, pop out. Me popping out makes me feel so much like a woman. It makes me feel so beautiful, and I'm just so grateful to God.
For me, it's when I pamper myself. So, like, get you an exfoliating glove. It will change the way you shower. Like, you put the glove on, you put your shower gel or your scrub on, and you scrub all the dead skin, like, every 3 days. Ah! The way your skin will be feeling. And then I get my feet done. When I get a massage. Oh, like, I feel like men can also do this, but they don't, because they just have this weird stereotype in their head that is quote unquote gay.
Yeah, no.
Or suspect. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's like, wearing perfume, even to go to Target, put some perfume on.
Yes.
Come on. What are you wearing? Oh, it's called La Vie. Yeah. What are you wearing? It's called You. Like, come on. Like
that's the essence of a woman, bro. Mm-hmm. When I walk past, I want you to smell me, bro. Like,
yeah, I like the question. It's like, I think a lot of like when someone's like, it's about like self-care. But I guess something that I do, it's not maybe necessarily a thing. It's like more so like who I am. It's like, I'm just unapologetically me, if that makes sense. Like, if I'm going to do this thing, I'm going to do it whether you think I'm doing too much or not. Mm-hmm. Whether you think I'm doing, like, I just feel like, because even you alumni, I said, me, I'll just spray my Ariana Grande thing and I'll just go to sleep. And it's like, girl, why are you going to perfume sleep? Because I want to. Like, it's just like, yeah, I just... Her. It's just like being, I don't know, like doing the things that make me feel comfortable and all that type of stuff. Of course, not like in a selfish, like indulgence type of way, but just like doing things that like make me feel affirmed in my identity of who I am, I guess. So it's like, once again, like those outward things that I do. But yeah, I definitely like, it's definitely given like, go get yourself pampered, take care of yourself, make sure you look nice and proper. Like the things that like I know that I want, I want to do them, and I do them unapologetically. And I think that makes me like really feel solidified as a woman, because once again, I guess, and I say all this to say like, I guess it's like, you know, it's giving women's empowerment, because I feel like I was always like under the thumb of someone or something. Mm-hmm. And it made me feel like I had to shrink myself and who I was. Mm-hmm. So being able to be like, I didn't ask your opinion. I'm just doing it. And that's what it is. Like, you know, I'm like, I don't care. This is a super side note, but yesterday I went to go and get suya. Mm-hmm. The guy who makes the suya is Ghanaian. He said, oh, are you Nigerian? He's like, oh, where are you from? I said, I'm Nigerian. He's like, oh yeah, I'm Ghanaian. Da, da, da. He's like, oh, but have you ever been to Nigeria? I was like, no, I haven't. He said, oh, okay, so you're not really Nigerian. I said, whatever you say, bro. I said, bro, whatever you say. I said, I am Nigerian because I know I'm Nigerian. I said,
exactly.
Back to the country does not make me Nigerian. But once again, it's like, you're trying to define me based on what you think. It's not, I don't live by your standards. I just came to get to y'all and go home. So it's just like, people just be placing things on you. I said, sir. So I think for me, it's like, I was just like, I don't care. Like, I'm not reacting to you. And I think that is like growth for me, because similar to Nicole, it's like, it's not every time please people and explain why. Oh my God, why do you think that? I don't care. Give me my
we do not care.
So we do not care. And that's
what we do not care. And that's literally going to be the end of the podcast, because we do not care.
Oh my gosh.
We are going to be unapologetically ourselves.
Amen.
And redefine womanhood for ourselves. And I hope that those of you who are listening have been inspired to define it for yourself. Not let your mom define it, or your auntie, or your big cousin, or even social media.
Mm-hmm.
Define it for you, but who do you say you are? Mm. And you're a woman because you are, not because you do what, but you have, but what you, because it's your being.
Mm.
You
yeah.
carry the essence of a woman.
Yes. Mm. Designed you.
You know, so hope that inspired you. Please share the podcast with a fellow Niger girl or someone who needs to hear this, absolutely.
Mm.
And before we leave, you know, you can find us at Niger Girl Talks on Instagram, and you can find Deb at Becoming with 2 E's _ on Instagram. And then you can find Nicole at By Nicole J. And stay on the lookout. We might be dropping merch. It will be a pre-sale. So
we might. We will.
We will. Yes, okay. We will. It's going to be pre-styled. So it's an order, and then we'll ship it to you.
Oh, yeah.
Please support the podcast. You know, having it is not cheap. And we really appreciate your support. Please share this podcast. Please comment. Please leave a review. Anything helps.
Yes.
With that being said, hold up,
bye. Bye.